This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's 4 o'clock on the number one sports talk show for your drive home.
I mean, you know how it is. Rockin' and rollin' and whatnot.
This is Dukes and Bell
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It is Friday the 13th.
I wish you didn't tell me that.
Well, listen.
Now I'm all freaked out about driving home.
I try to keep people informed on what's going on. I mean, are you a superstitious guy?
Hell yes, I am.
Okay, me too. That new movie, It, is out.
Ooh.
So I'm sure that it'll get some good business tonight as far as it being Friday the 13th. All these scary movies come out right about Halloween anyway.
Right.
You know that.
Right.
So, you know, between now and the end of next month, you'll have like 18 scary movies out. And none of them will be any good, but they'll be, you know, good because they scare you.
Right. Now, for some people, a scary movie is about a clown. For me, it's about getting married and having kids. But, I mean, other people, you know, it depends. Some movies are more scary than others for guys out there.
That's the scary thing for you?
Real quick, speaking of movies, before we get to our dog report, we're live here at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. Our usual suspects are hanging out here. Alabama Al is here. We got Jay. We got the big boss man. We got that guy. We got to give him a nickname, too. But, you know, we got a bunch of guys. So we're hanging out having a good time. But I was watching the TV just during the commercial break, and I saw on the NBA thing on ESPN that somehow they must have had a conversation with Dwight Howard about his favorite superhero or his character. And of all people, Dwight Howard listed Thanos as the favorite character in the Marvel Universe. And I said, you know what? When I thought about it for a second, that's apropos. Because everywhere he goes, he destroys half a team.
This is true. That's kind of been his MO.
So and now he's going to try to recoup it with the Lakers. But I saw that. I had to laugh. I was like, Thanos? Not like, you know, Iron Man or Thor.
I will say this, though. Thanos was a bad blank. Thanos was tough, man.
He went out like a bee, though.
Well, come on. I mean, you know, somebody,
I don't want to give it away, but
if somebody's got your hands held and they chop
head
off.
I'm just saying.
All right, man. More about.
Was it so tough then?
More about what's going on with our Falcons coming up. Chuck Smith's going to join us in about 20 minutes. We will ask Chuck about this new alignment and also a couple of guys he's worked with. Obviously, he's worked with our own Grady Jarrett. Derek Barnett on the defensive line for the Eagles is a guy that he's worked with. But this is going to be a game that, again, it sounds simplistic, that is going to be one up front, guys. If there are no holes for Free to run through, and I just saw the Falcons post, you know, thing with Free, and I said, I got to see it this week. I got to see us establish the run. We've been talking about this O-line all offseason. We didn't really get a chance to do it last week. And then, Mike, hopefully that opens up some other aspects of our offense. But Chuck is going to join us here in about 20 minutes.
And again, it's our annual sort of rite of the fall with Chuck. We ask him for the, sixth time now or fifth time, what's up with Vic Beasley? Can we get this guy on track?
Because he almost had us. Never mind.
Well, I mean,
if
he had finished his approach, I understand. And by the way, as much as I dog out Vic Beasley, I do understand the logic behind not laying out Kirk Cousins on Sunday.
Come on,
because,
take him out.
But these dudes have all been conditioned now. You touch. Look at Grady Jarrett when he hit Jay Cutler. Was that 2 years ago, Squid? When that went down, you know, you hit a quarterback, boom, that's 50 grand. And you're going to probably get the flag at least 15 yards. So I just thought when he paused, he could have knocked Kirk Cousins into tomorrow, changed the entire outlook of the game. But he didn't do it.
No.
And I don't know, some guys came at me on Twitter and said Vic doesn't have a killer instinct. He'd never do that, regardless of interpretation of the rules, which I kind of have to agree with when you think about it. That's why I'm not worried about that tattoo on my butt.
Well, he needs what, nine? Is it nine he needs?
He needs 10.
Oh, I thought he got one in the preseason.
Yeah, which doesn't count.
All sacks matter.
No, they don't.
All right, man. It is Dukes and Bell. Hit us up, guys. Find us on social media. It's 929 The Game. Mike is at Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'em Up. See Dukes. The radio show is Dukes and Bell, 929. And, of course, that's across all social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Hey, let's talk some dogs.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
So, Mike, when you talk about these major, big-time, top 25 matchups, it's what gets us excited as a college football fan. We saw it in week one. We were all excited to see how this was going to turn out.
Right.
You know, Clemson, Alabama. I mean, everybody's like, yeah, this is what it's about. And then you turn the page, and here we are, a week before Notre Dame, which, again, is a huge game for Georgia, and there's some big games next week outside of that one, but I think that's the marquee game. This week is kind of blah.
It's a dud spud.
It doesn't get you excited, and here's the problem. There are too many good teams out there to have one of these weekends where I'm going to be flipping around on Saturday trying to find a game of interest. And that's the problem. It shouldn't be that way. Last week I had this game, that game, this game I wanted to watch.
Right.
I was watching all the way until the end of the night when that Jacob Eason debacle happened with the storm and they didn't start the game till like 2 a.m. And I didn't even watch that because I fell asleep.
And by the way, what a terrible way to lose a game for Washington. They looked awful. Jacob did not look good either.
He did not. So I only say this stuff, these kinds of weeks, and again, I know the scheduling's done way in advance, yada, yada, yada. But this doesn't help college football because as much as we love it, we expect those big matchups week in and week out. And by the way, I think Clemson rolled Syracuse after the last couple of seasons of being played close by Syracuse.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's looking at comparative scores. Maryland humiliated a Syracuse team. A lot of people were saying that, you know, Coach Babers has got Syracuse. They've turned the corner. They won 10 games last year. Well, unless they're going to have a course correction, that was a major kind of gap. And Trevor Lawrence, it hasn't been Trevor Lawrence of last year, but as we talked about it yesterday actually 2 days ago with Todd Blackledge, who called the game with Sean McDonough, he said that, they're doing exactly what they have to do. They're running the football, and yeah, he's got some picks, but he'll clean that up. But it's a tough environment to play, that's for sure. By the way, you're looking for a game. This isn't exactly marquee, but it should make a good high-scoring game. Washington State, our good buddy Mike Leach.
Yes.
Going up against Dana Holgorsen and Houston.
Yeah.
That's a 9:15 game. I wonder if that's on Fox. But either way, that's a game which could provide a ton of points. I think the over-under is 74 in that one.
I would agree. That's going to be entertaining from an offensive standpoint, and we love offense.
You're right. There's not a lot of great games this week.
No compelling games. That's the thing. And, yeah, I'm going to watch Clemson. Yes, I'm going to watch. I want to see what Georgia does as they prepare. I think the compelling thing, to be honest with you, about the Georgia game, outside of the game itself, is the story we talked about with Coach Anderson's wife and how his team comes out. I said this, they're going to be emotionally charged. They were last week as they rolled UNLV. Do they keep it close in the first half?
I mean, for Georgia to lose this game, you'd have to have a bunch of turnovers because then you'd find yourself in trouble because you might have to play catch-up. But that would be the only way because, and again, if you didn't read the story, talked about it yesterday, Coach Blake Anderson, 6 year there at Ark State, they do a lot of good things offensively. They really try to – I mean, he's an assistant for Larry Fedora, so they're going to throw the football.
Right.
But his wife – Wendy, beautiful young woman, unbelievably sad story. If you hadn't a chance to read it, loses her life to breast cancer, and so many folks in that part of the country have responded. I know a lot of Georgia fans will be wearing pink. So, again, by the way, we're tied in with Paint Quinette Pink, more on our big charity event with those guys coming up in October. But anybody who's read the story, I think Georgia fans would like to see Georgia win, but, a competitive game because the Anderson family, it's a sad story, but it is an inspirational story.
Hey, DeAndre Swift could become the Bulldogs' 16th player to reach 2,000 rushing yards. Swift is a junior. You guys know how talented he is. He needs 119 yards to reach that in his career rushing mark. So if he doesn't do it this week, and I think, he's primed to have a big game. The problem with Swift, and we said this as we went into the season, he just doesn't get enough carries. If Swift got 20 to 25 looks a game, guys, he could easily be the leading rusher in the country. But, on average, I've said this, he hadn't touched the ball more than 17 times. That's going back to when Sonny Michel and Nick Chubb were here. Now he's the guy, but he's splitting time with Harrion and James and all these guys. Zeus got carries last week.
Right.
So I just don't think he's going to get it enough. But this is special company for DeAndre Swift in the limited amount of carries that he has been getting since becoming a dog. But remember, 1,800 career yards. He needs 110 more to move past the next Bulldog on the list. I'm looking at this list, Mike. Pretty impressive. The SEC record, his yards per carry. So Todd Gurley, yards per carry was 6.4. His 7.07 yards per carry is on pace to set a school record. So yards per carry for DeAndre Swift is pretty good.
Right. Now the going's going to get a little bit tougher in the heart of that SEC schedule, but I mean, I think you look at him as Sonny Michel, and Nick Chubb would be Zeus, right? Either way, you got the dynamic in place, the best offensive line. Coach Dooley told us the other day, if you missed it, he actually said that he thinks it's the best offensive line, best team that Kirby's had. Some would argue you don't replace a guy like Roquan Smith,
nope,
who you had in 17 when you beat Oklahoma. But either way, they got a bunch of young studs. You and I have talked about it, guys. The guys making impact plays, Nolan Smith, true freshman. We already talked about George Pickens, Dominic, Blaylock Mookie's son. There's so many guys on this squad. N'Kobe Dean at inside. So these are the guys who are going to step it up. I think any good team, when you recruit these five stars, I know I've been harping on this all fall, but I think Kirby, who's like Nick, is going to have to lean on these true freshmen this year. You got to, because these are the playmakers on defense.
Yeah, you got to do it. It is our dog report. It's always brought to you by our friends at Cool Ray.
Cool Ray, man. Great warranty, guys. It's lifetime parts and labor. So buy your AC system from Cool Ray and Carrier. Trust the pros, man, over there at Cool Ray.
All right. Is the secondary going to be tested in this game as they try to throw
it around? Well, these guys throw the ball, man. We talked about it. This is an offense that already Logan Bonner, he's a quarterback, 608 yards and 6 touchdowns in his first 2 games. Now, not exactly great defense they went up against, but still, these guys want to throw it around. They want to spread you out and
pound you.
Yes. They are doing what Larry Fedora, when it worked for one season at North Carolina, tried to do.
5 of his 6 touchdowns, we're talking about Bonner, the quarterback, has gone to a kid named Omar Bayless. He's 6'3", about 210.
Omar.
A fifth-year senior.
So if you watch The Wire, that's...
Omar. But he's a fifth-year senior. Point is, this is his go-to guy. This is the guy he's looking for to try to get the rock to, especially in those red zone situations. So whatever side Omar is going to is the side I'd be paying attention to in this contest for Dog fans. Either way, let's fast forward. Monday, Dog should be 3-0, and we should be talking about getting ready for the biggest game of the season and one that could catapult them maybe through the rest of the year to get them to the SEC championship. Bo's looking at me and going, slow down. Why, Bo? You've got one of the best teams in the country. There are no more excuses for Kirby Smart. Zero. Great recruiting. You're stacked. You're deep. You got a 3-year quarterback. You got NFL talent all over the field. Right. There is no more slowing down. Oh, woe is me. Let's not talk about the Dogs being good.
Well, in the history of Mark Richt's Dogs or Jim Donnan or Ray Goff's, they always seem to fold under that pressure with their expectations. Scrap that. Now, look, we can't go back in time and replay the national championship game against Alabama. It is what it is. You blew it. You couldn't finish it. And unfortunately, in Atlanta, that just hurts because we have a history of that with a lot of our teams. But this is a team which can compete. Alabama, at some point, is going to have some problems with those coaches and recruiting leaving year after year. I just believe in that, man. And certainly, guys, the Florida Gators, with due respect to Squidbilly, Felipe Franks, is he going to step up? That Miami game is kind of what he is. He just frustrates you because you know he's got the arm strength, he's got the size and everything, but he just makes terrible decisions with the football.
All right, so Kentucky loses their quarterback. First of all, how big of a loss is that, right?
Starter for 3 years,
yes.
Right?
So that is number one. Kentucky's dealing with, even though they beat them last year, we're talking about this as being a revenge game for the Gators.
Right. Benny Snell, a lot of guys moved out of the NFL.
And a lot of guys are gone, but losing your quarterback, your veteran quarterback, is a big deal. Terry Wilson's out for the year. To your point about Felipe Franks, if Florida's serious, and I say this, about beating Georgia, because that's their number one task, to get to the SEC championship, Franks has got to play better. He just does. And I haven't seen him elevate his game quite yet. Can he spin it, Mike? Yeah, he can throw it 80 yards, but that's not what it's all about.
Right. And they've got great defense. They're getting better. I do think that Georgia shouldn't take it for granted, but the most important position is still the quarterback. I just don't know if that's the right guy for Dan Mullen. He did win the job kind of by default. They've got some other guys in the pipeline, more recruits coming. But this is Georgia's window right now. And I think Texas A&M, maybe they're going to get better on defense. But do you really get scared now as much about Texas A&M as we thought going into the season, that late game in Athens?
Well, the offense, man. Kelly Mond couldn't do anything. You know, if you're telling me, well, it was Clemson. Well, those are the kind of defenses he's going to see in the better competition.
Right.
Alabama, the LSUs. This is why I said A&M's schedule is brutal. And then, you know, you got to go come and play Georgia in Athens. I don't think that they're going to be as big of a concern as maybe we thought they would be.
All right, some of the other games. Alabama, we mentioned, taking on South Carolina. Poor Will Muschamp. 7 wins, 8 wins this year for Carolina.
That North Carolina game hurt.
Really did.
It you know, only from the not only from a recruiting standpoint, just, hey, we're better than a first-year Mack Brown team.
Right.
But I'm not sold on what Muschamp is doing there. Remember all the hype last year, Mike, in the Georgia game?
Right.
And then Georgia just went in there and methodically beat them down.
Right.
South Carolina's not – this is not the Steve Spurrier years.
Well, and that's the thing. To win those 11 games the way they did, I mean, that's – it's almost like, you know, Lou Holtz got the ball rolling. Spurrier took it to another level. And now Muschamp is just there. And I like Coach, but you know what? He just – to me, I think it's his lot in life, Carl, eventually just getting back to be a really good assistant, making a million bucks somewhere. I just don't think he's going to. South Carolina is such a unique situation, kind of like what Tennessee is. You can't get the national recruits, so you're really going to work your butt off to get those guys in there.
So it is going to be interesting to see what happens there.
I mean, get on the cockaboose, have some cocktails, and watch Alabama put 40 on you.
Have some fun. Yeah, I think that might be over by halftime as well. Hey, it is Dukes and Bell. It's our dog report. We go on the sidelines every day with the dogs. We talk college football with you guys again. Brought to you by our friends at Cool Ray.
Cool Ray, man, is a lifetime parts and labor warranty, peace of mind, and obviously with Carrier, a name you can trust. Trust the pros at Cool Ray and Carrier.
All right, I saw this tweet from the Falcons. I just retweeted it.
What's going on?
It's free, and the hashtag is eat free, okay, meaning feed him. And it's us versus all y'all. If you've not seen the shirts, they're out. Mike and I got them. Matter of fact, Squid's got his on the day. And that's kind of the motto, right? It's Falcons versus everybody, us versus everybody.
So they got it from White Men Can't Jump. I'm going to go back to my car and shoot all y'all. Oh, no, it's a different reference. I'm sorry.
So I captioned this retweet by saying I need to see it this week. And a guy named Michael hits me up. He says, I love y'all's show. I'm a diehard Falcon fan. But we need to realize that our team is not that good.
Oh, will you stop that? It's only 1 week.
It's week one.
It's week one. Right, you know what? Let's put it to the bar. Twin Peaks, how many Falcon fans we got out here? Make some noise. Okay, that was underwhelming, Carl. That was terrible.
Try it again.
All right, Falcon fans.
They need to be amped up.
Here we go, Falcon fans. Let's go beat them Eagles. Make some noise. I don't think their heart's in it necessarily.
Here, let me try it, Mike.
Yeah, put a black guy on this job.
Let me try it. I'm going to buy y'all a drink if y'all make some damn noise. Where are my Falcon fans at?
There we go. That's better.
All right. We're coming back. Chuck Smith's next. It is Dukes and Bell. We are live at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. We'll be here until 7 o'clock, guys. More on our Falcons coming up. Steve Coonan set to join us as well in about 15 minutes. Hawks CEO is on the way. And we'll break down the Braves' magic number at 8 and Markakis on his way back. But first, let's talk to a guy who knows football. He teaches it. We've talked to him in the past. You guys who are not familiar with Chuck Smith, longtime Falcon. And Mike, now we like to call him, I guess, the sack master because he teaches so many guys around the NFL.
Right. For those who don't remember, Chuck Ferraro. Again, Chuck, we got to teach these millennials all about, the bomb squad. Chuck was a captain of D in a team that obviously got after the quarterback. We was at a Super Bowl in 98. And now, as Carl said, he makes a lot of loot, not to put your business out there.
You just did.
Getting guys ready for the draft and helping pros get better at pass rush. How you doing, big guy?
Doing good, but I ain't making as much money as y'all, especially with them ratings. I know y'all got the bag.
Hey, man, hush. Shh. Be quiet. Hey, Chuck, let's talk about first our defense, man. I thought Grady, and this was just an observation from, last week, and then obviously the information comes out about how well he played in the interior. We take the L, but Grady, and I know he worked with you during the summer, and, there were some other guys we were asking where are some other guys that should have been working with you. But what is it about Grady that I think has improved his game? I've been saying this. I think he's one of the underrated defensive tackles in the league.
Well, I think he never stops working. And not only did I have the blessings of working with Grady last couple of years, is that he works with other people. So he goes and finds the best trainers, the best, when they can't be in Flowery Branch, when the players have to train outside the facility, he goes and does, the massages. He does the cupping. He does everything, man. He's really a professional, and I think that's what shows up. And you don't hear him talking about a smack or whatever, but Grady puts in the work, and he's getting the rewards from it.
It is Big Chuck Smith with us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. We're going to see Fletcher Cox. We were talking about him earlier, Chuck, and a D-tackle, Aaron Donald and Fletcher Cox. What makes that guy so special? I mean, is it just a combination of size and technique, all of the above?
I think because he's a guy who likes to whoop people's butt. He's got a dog mentality, and he has the size to back it up. He's great with a power lift. He finishes everything with a rip, and when you got that kind of technique and that kind of mindset, you're going to be effective. He's a mover. He's a road grader. And let me tell you something. This is what's unique about Fletcher Cox. You have some guys in NFL history that are so powerful. Even when an offensive lineman sits his butt down, he's in perfect position. The power of force of a guy like Fletcher Cox still moves him. There are some things, man, that you just can't stop. 101, no one man can stop Fletcher Cox's bull rush, especially if he gets it going.
It is Chuck Smith, guys, joining us here on Dukes and Bell as we talk about offensive, defensive line play. And, up front is where it all starts. Another guy that we'll be watching on Sunday, and I know we're familiar with, and you are as well, is Derek Barnett. Talk to us about his development and where he's at right now.
Wow, he's had a fantastic game against Washington. I think he was number one in pressures last week. Actually, they had three of the top five guys who got pressures last week. But Derek's tough, man. He's having a great year. He's fast off the edge. He's developed moves, man. There's a video out there where Derek takes him in last week against Washington, dips in hard, comes back out and clubs him. Those are moves that, you know, he didn't use in the past couple years. But, you know, Derek, Brandon Graham, all those guys, you know, I'm pretty familiar with, they have the killer mentality. You know, they do it. So no matter what, you know, the Falcons have to have that same mentality.
And that's the thing, man, that want to getting after the quarterback. That's something that we've asked you a million times about Vic Beasley. And I know that Dan Quinn, the way they're – Chuck, I don't know what you make of the defense. I was joking around, it's more like a 5-2, but this 3-4 we're using at times, do you like it? Do you understand what we're trying to do here?
Yeah, without –
Say that again, Chuck, I'm sorry. Say that again.
I'm sorry.
You cut out.
I said I didn't watch a lot of preseason. So I truly never, you know, realized. So when I'm watching for one of the first times, I had to pick up the phone and call an offensive guy to make sure I was seeing it right. So I beep, 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 beep. I called Bob Whitfield, like, Bob, Falcons running a 3-4? And he was like, let me look. He was like, yeah, because it caught me because I've never seen do it that way. And, then I was even more surprised, actually, to see Adrian Claiborne standing up and seeing the guy standing up. But you know, I think there's a method to the madness, and as I really kind of evaluate it, guys, I think a lot of it you never got to see all the pieces because the Falcons never stopped the run. So I think a lot of the things that Dan is trying to do, and I'm, you know, just speculating, I don't think you got to see how he was actually going to use the guys when it comes to blitzes and movement, you know, because they couldn't stop the run. But I was a little surprised with the 3-4, and especially when you have 4-3 defensive ends trying to make the adjustment.
It is Chuck Smith, as we talk about our defense, guys, and trying to slow down Carson Wentz with this RPO. You're absolutely right. And you know, you got to be in the game, first of all, to try to have a game plan. And once that gets taken out of context, you know, you're just struggling to try to make plays.
Right.
And that's what happened in week one. But, Chuck, as we talk about this, guy standing up, is it beneficial, in your opinion, for a guy like Attack or Vic Beasley to be in those positions? We've always talked about hand in the dirt and coming after guys and going after it, and now you're talking about them doing something different, potentially.
Well, it's a unique skill to stand up, and that's one of the biggest challenges I've had to, you know, deal with in the new modern era, that 4-3 D ends are now standing up. But, yeah, you're right. And let me ask you guys this. And work with me here now, Mike. Who's the fastest man in the world?
Usain Bolt.
Okay. So does Usain Bolt, when he wants to run fast, does he stand up in the blocks or does he get down in the blocks?
No, man. He's down there in that sprinter's position, man. I get what you're saying. That's why – is this a byproduct of the RPO, though? They're so concerned with that. Is that why we're doing this this summer?
Nah, I don't know. If the RPOs are a small part of the game, you know, when it comes to pass rush. But to me, no, I don't think it's that. I think they're looking at it from the standpoint of when they say set the edge, I think the thought process is that'll help them rush the passer standing up. But as I watch the game, you know, I'm not trying to be super critical of the guys. They were laid off the ball every time. So when you're trying to get that advantage of striking blocks and you're laid off the ball, that is a part of being a defensive end that stands up. So, you know, I'm not talking about the RPOs. A lot of people run RPOs, but that guys in the 4-3 play against, you know what I mean? So I just think still right now it's a learning curve for those guys, as well as Deion Jones. A lot of it had to do with fit too, guys. A lot of it,
right.
You see it, there was a little bit of confusion. So it's easy to beat those guys up, but again, Dan never got to get to the full complement. Now, there is no excuse for the run defense, you know what I'm saying? When you got 5-6 on the line, you know, you got to stop the run. The run is about a mentality and technique. And the Falcons got to get back to that, and that's something I think they can do this week.
Chuck, when we talk about setting the edge, you know, we've been explaining it for a novice fan. Let's just say a guy who just jumped on board and is saying, you know what, I keep hearing everybody talk about this. I heard Dukes and Bell talking about it. Can you explain it? You're on the end. You are lined up outside of the tackle. What's the purpose? What are you trying to do?
What you're trying to do is like a vice, just like a tool device. everything in it, you're trying to control it and squeeze everything inside to reduce it. So you're trying to reduce the field, and that's what the defensive outside linebackers are supposed to do. They're supposed to, no one goes outside of them. Literally, they're out. So if you're on the right side and you're Tack McKinley, your outside right arm should always be free. If the offensive lineman or tight end gets to that right side, you got to visualize this with me, Falcons fans and guys. He should always have his right arm free every time. And you got to squeeze everything in that vise. And look, anytime you try to set the edge, it's like a puzzle. So if they don't set the edge, then you got that inside backer, Deion Jones, who's supposed to fit inside. It makes it harder for him. You know what I'm saying? So it's really way bigger than that. If you don't set the edge or what they squeeze him in this vise, it's going to mess up Ricardo. It messes up Deion. It messes up Devondre because you got to set the edge, as they say, but it's more of a vice.
It's a great example. Thank you.
That's why we get Big Chuck Smith on, guys. Chuck, real quick, this again, it's only a small sample size to the season, though, but, I mean, is this going to take? I mean, are these guys going to get with the program on this, or is this going to be a work in progress all year?
No, I think it's a technique thing. I think, but there's a learning curve to it. But I don't think it's going to be a problem all year. But I'm going to tell you something, too. Everybody keeps talking about set the edge. Also, there were times where the guard, when he was pulling, that he would pull, he would, you know, work inside out, and then Dalvin Cook would cut inside. So there's some, like I said, there was some give the guy some credit. I don't think it's going to be a problem all year because I think Tack is going to make the adjustments, Vic will make the adjustments, Claiborne will, and it's a technique thing. But it's also a fit. Those kind of things happen the first game. Totally different kind of defense. And then, you know, again, too, now they're going nickel. They're going four-man rush a lot and nickel, too. So I expect Dan to have great packages this week in the 3-4 and stop the run. And I think the Falcons will come out swinging. I think they're going to have energy. I think they're going to go hard. But the key is after the first quarter, what happens now when you have to use technique and you have to out-scheme the Eagles? They're going to come out hard, but the second, third, and fourth quarters are going to define who wins this game.
It's a great point. By the way, you want more information about what Chuck's doing, 833-222-SACK. I'm not making that up. 833-222-SACK. Tell people what you're doing, man, because I know your business is expanding.
Yeah, but again,
brother.
Time out. If your kid is 5'6", don't send him to Chuck.
No.
Okay?
Wait, hold on. Let me get the number. Oh, 833-222-SACK. What are you doing, man?
Well, we got a great new program that I put together where it's called Fixing Flaw Sundays. And this is for high school parents, middle school. You know, you struggle in games, and, you know, I'll come out and I'll help you fix the flaws and my staff, and we do that. And, you know, we're just gearing up, man. We got a lot of good things going on. I got an office and some guys working with me now. So, you know, I'm trying to grow, man.
All right.
At the end of the day, trying to help kids get sacks, and ultimately those kids become great NFL players, some of them. Then I start getting some of the sacks.
Right. Well, that's why we said, man, he's in the sack business, and according to Chuck, business is booming. So check it out. Hey, man, have a great weekend, Chuck. Appreciate the time, man.
Thanks, guys, for having me on.
Yeah, that's Chuck Smith, guys. It is Dukes and Bell. Hey, Atlanta Hawks season tips off in October. Now's your chance to get single-game tickets. Steve Coonan's on the way, Hawks CEO. He will join us here coming up. Visit hawks.com/onsale today to see the full schedule and get your tickets for the upcoming games this season. Mike, I got to show you this, and then I want you to explain what you're looking at when we come back. Oh. Buddy of mine's in Vegas, and he just put this down. We'll talk about it next.
Damn, Gina.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Time to check in with the CEO of our Atlanta Hawks. This is Catching Up with Coonan on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We do it each and every week. We get a chance to talk to the Hawks CEO. That's a big title. His name is Steve Coonan.
He's kind of a big deal.
That he is, and we're looking forward to the start of training camp and all the excitement surrounding our Atlanta Hawks. But we get Steve on to talk about a variety of other things, guys. He has a broad passion
yes,
for many things.
He's a renaissance man and a big sports fan of things outside NBA. By the way, Steve, as we continue to blow smoke up your butt, if you haven't gone to Hawks.com and gotten on your tickets, you really need to get the Flex Pack. I was on there the other day when it went off. I think it was 10 a.m. And there are some good seats, but they are going fast. The Hawks are going to be a sexy pick this year to hopefully win 6 more games. But, Carl, people are buying the tickets. And if you haven't gotten on it yet, you really need to, guys, because if you go through the secondary market, you're going to be paying through the nose. Still time to go to Hawks.com and get your ticks. Right, Steve?
So far, I think this is the best show we've ever done.
Could be.
I haven't said a word. Could be. You're selling tickets. You're working the over-unders. You are killing it, guys. Killing it.
It's what we do, Steve Cooney.
That I agree with.
Yes, it is what we do. Hey, you know, there is so much going on in the world of sports outside of just obviously the NBA, but everybody's talking about this, and I asked you about it a couple of weeks ago, and Mike Conte and I and Mike were in studio the other day, and Conte came in, and I said, what is going on with Team USA? Like, are guys just shutting it down? Because, again, and right. Then I heard Kobe come out and say, it's not that easy for us anymore. That, you know, the game is so global now that these matchups that used to be blowouts – are not, and we're losing the countries we used to not lose to. What's your take on it?
The problem is there's too much for these players to play into May and June and then go train starting in late July and then be gone in August and September. Our coach, Lloyd Pierce, has been one of the assistant coaches along with Steve Kerr Greg Popovich. He's been gone for 6 weeks, you know, and the players just did not take it as something that was a must-do, want-to-do, because there really was no medal and there was no television and there was no sponsorship. So we go finish seventh, but the mission was to qualify for the Olympics. Now, the real question is this generation of player want to wear that USA uniform? And I can't answer that question right now. You know, I know that Jerry Colangelo has been like, well, if you think you're making the team and you didn't show up for this, I'm not sure threatening today's player is the most effective strategy.
Steve, I'm with you. For those who are not familiar, the Colangelo's been running USA Basketball for, what, decades now?
And I agree. If you're saying, job.
But here's the thing, Steve, to your point, if you're telling guys, well, we won't use you, well, we couldn't win with the guys without you guys there. I mean, I agree. I think if you're in your 30s and you've played a 82-game NBA season in playoffs, you really don't have time for this. But I just think the Olympic gold is something different. I do think that sort of galvanizes people. And to be honest with you, with the NFL starting up, I don't think the average American gives a flip right now other than the hardcore basketball fans.
Truthfully, a year from now when the Olympics are on, this will be a fainted memory. Because our best players will go over, they will play, we should win. Not handily, but we should win. But I think once we qualified for the Olympics, I think we let our guard down. And that just shows you that the world is catching up. 25% of NBA players are international. You know, and as much as I love the NFL, it's an American game. It's not a global game. We're truly a global game.
It is Steve Cooney, Hawks CEO, joining us here on Dukes and Bell. We are live at Twin Peaks, guys, coming up. Falcon Report is on the way. Some interesting numbers. Also, an article out saying the Falcons aren't really anything to worry about for the Eagles, which has a lot of people talking about how the Eagles have dominated this matchup, at least for the last three, couple of times. So,
What are we thinking about Sunday night, guys? You know,
it's funny. Carl's got a buddy in Vegas, and I want to talk gambling with an NBA executive, but it was about the over-under.
It's semi-legal. You just can't talk.
That's true. That's true.
Team.
Right. Right. I did put 500 down, by the way. You got to win six more games. But
if you never bring
historically,
it up
though. No, but historically, Steve, it's been a low scoring matchup. I mean, ironically, the last time we beat the Eagles was actually the 15th season when Carl blew it by saying he could look ahead and look at a 9-0 start.
I think it was something like, I'm starting to look ahead.
But it does call for some soul searching, Steve, because you know how quickly people will jump off the bandwagon if this team starts 0-2.
Yeah, I think it's a really, it's kind of crazy that the second game of the season is actually a really big game. And, you look at our division, and, you know, Carolina looked terrible last night. Tampa Bay certainly looked beatable. And New Orleans looked pretty vulnerable the other night. So hopefully we flip it into gear and, have a great season. I think that's important for all of us, for all of our teams. You know, the Braves are looking brilliant. And, you know, it's a great sports town when the teams are clicking. And I think between Georgia, the Braves, and hopefully the Falcons and Hawks, we're going to have something special.
Yeah, listen, I think people are looking for reasons to have confidence, to answer your question. And last week didn't give anybody that. But I think we got a good team. And that's the problem. You know, it's like the NBA. You got 82 of those things. Mm-hmm. You have a bad night, you get blown out, and everybody goes, oh, they're terrible. It's one game of 15. They are more urgent, obviously, because you have less games. But I'm not buying into the notion that, oh, the season's, you know, going to go down the tube now because of the way we played last week. Everything they did was correctable. I'm with you, Steve.
What I'm curious about is the coach's message getting through? You know, we're on year five. Are these guys right. hearing him? He's an excellent coach, you know. And is the message getting through? All of the three new coordinators are a lot to absorb. So let's not panic. Right. But I'm looking forward to going Sunday night. I think it's going to – and I hear the roof's going to be open, so that should make a comfortable environment very warm.
The roof. The roof is on. You get the idea. Hey, Steve, man, have a great weekend. Again, guys, go to AtlantaHawks.com, get your tickets. And hopefully next week we'll have a lot more to talk Georgia. Steve's a Georgia alum. We'll get you ready for Notre Dame, too.
Steve, can I hang out in your big, fabulous suite? Can I hang out in your big, fabulous suite in Athens? Is that possible?
In Athens?
Yeah.
I'm on an aluminum bench that is hotter than
Never mind. I was thinking cocktails, right. hors d'oeuvres. Never mind.
You obviously have never been to Athens.
well, I have, but I just in the club.
Yeah, I just thought you'd be in the club level. Wow, all right. It says Steve Coonan, guys, a man of the people, sitting on the bench in the
Absolutely.
Heat. By the way, Falcon fans, there are Falcon fans fired up about this matchup this weekend. Yeah. They believe this team's going to get it done. Big Falcon pep rally getting ready at Atlantic Station, Carl. 7 o'clock. A lot of people are already heading up down. We had a few people in Falcon gear. They're going to make their way down 75, hang out at Atlantic Station tonight. So get on down there, guys, and show your Falcon colors, man. Let's get rocking and rolling.
All right, I'm going to read a little bit of this article that came out up there in Philly about the Falcons are nothing to be worried about.
Oh!
We'll see if you agree. Mike's got some interesting numbers we'll lay out. We'll give you our keys as well. It's all on the way. It's Dukes and Bell live at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.